Well, folks, we are continuing in our series here from the book of James. And I hope that you've enjoyed the study so far. Believe me, there is much more to come from what we have seen so far. But we might ask, what have we seen so far? What have we learned? That first of all, James tells us something that just goes absolutely against every natural fiber of our being, doesn't it? When he tells us that we can rejoice, we can take joy in our trials. Not that we enjoy difficult times, hard times, painful things, but that we can have joy in the midst of it. Take joy. Why? Because God can take those trials, those troubles, and transform them into treasure in our lives. The treasure of mature Christian character. The fruit of mature Christian character. So that when we have that proper attitude about trial, about trouble, God will transform those into treasure in our lives then. We've also seen how we need to resist. We need to resist in temptation. That James tells us that where does the temptation come from? We can't blame God. We can't blame others. We can't put that all on those outside of us. But really, temptation ultimately comes from ourselves, within ourselves, those evil desires within ourselves then. And that there is a consequence for cultivating those evil desires, for giving in to those temptations. Now, temptation is not a sin, but to give in to that, to yield to that, it is sin then, and that sin produces death. Sin produces death. Sinful desires only lead to death, nothing good in our lives. But our Heavenly Father gives us life. You know, I ran across a picture of something here this week I'd like to share with you. But it's something I think that illustrates for us here the need for us to turn away from that temptation. The temptation isn't sin, but we need to turn away from that temptation, not to dwell on it, not to yield to it. It becomes sin. But sometimes we like to kind of toy around the edges there with it. Remember, we said there's a picture here in the scriptures of sin and these temptations as being something that entices us. It's like the bait which entices a fish to come out of where it is and to grab on and to bite that bait. Or it's like a slice of cheese on a mouse trap. That there's that temptation that's there, that if it reaches out, it appeals to us, but when we reach hold and we take hold of it, boom, snap, we're trapped then. And this is this temptation. But some of us, though, sometimes like to see how close can we get to temptation without actually sinning. Well, I want to show you something. This is not a method that I recommend for handling temptation in our lives here. So, you know, we can chuckle a little bit at that there, but isn't that exactly what we do sometimes as believers? We like to see how close can I get to this forbidden element here without getting hurt in it. But that shouldn't be our approach at all, then at all. Today, then, we're resting in divine truth. Resting in divine truth. And what is the thought that we should take away from this here today? What is this? That consistent obedience to God's Word produces mature Christian character and conduct. If you have your Bibles there, would you turn with me now to the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. James is writing and he says this, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious, and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Looking at this passage, we're going to be dividing this book of James up into the chapters here with a major theme that emerges in each chapter. And the major theme of this first chapter is to stand with confidence, that we need to stand firm against those things that assault our faith. The first one is rejoicing in diverse trials. As we've said, all kinds of trouble comes at us. Has anyone here managed to lead a trouble-free life up to this point? Probably not too many of us. We're all going to face trouble and difficulty. But God is with us in those trials, and we can even rejoice in them because He can turn those trials into treasure. Resisting in deadly temptation. We're all subject to temptation. We are all going to face those things that want to threaten to derail us from continued spiritual growth and progress, spiritual health in our lives, temptations that derail us. Well, today then, the message here is that we can rest in divine truth. That God's Word, His truth, His promises, these are what can see us through trials and help us to resist and to fight temptation. So ultimately then, the key to responding to trials and resisting temptation is found in how we respond to God's Word, His divine truth. We need to receive God's Word. We need to hear it. We need to hear what God is saying to us. Receive God's Word. We need to respond then to God's Word. It isn't enough merely to hear it, isn't it? We have to respond to it, act on it, obey it. And then finally, we must remain in His Word. Receive, respond, and remain in His Word if we're going to grow in faith and Christian character. So let's look at that first thing here of resting in divine truth. Resting in divine truth. Receive God's Word. Receive God's Word. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21 says this in the New Living Translation. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. So receive God's word. Here James is identifying with his audience here, and he's making it clear that what is about to follow here is of great importance. Now, James, you recall, was the half-brother of our Lord Jesus. And there were times when Jesus wanted especially to get our attention, isn't he? And what did he say when he had something that he really wanted us to take note of? He would say, truly, truly. It was his way of saying, hey, listen, pay attention to this. The old King James, verily, verily, truly, truly, pay attention. This is important. And this is what James is doing here. Saying, hey, listen up, folks. This is important. This is key, what I'm about to say here. Understand this. Take note of this. Understand. And he follows then with three quick commands there. He says, be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. Be slow to become angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Why? Because anger, sinful anger, man's anger, sinful anger, does not bring about the righteous life that God desires in us. I want to ask you something here. Has anyone here ever seen or experienced an instance in your life where yours and someone else or someone else sinful anger, I'm not talking about a righteous anger, okay? And by the way, sometimes we can fool ourselves about that. But sinful anger, man's anger that he refers to here, have you ever experienced or seen in your life or in the life of someone else how sinful anger went on to produce a harvest of good things and righteousness in that person's life? Has anyone ever seen that here? Raise your hand if we have any hands up here. No. Why not? it's incapable of producing the righteous life, God. When we allow sinful anger to take hold of us, to take hold of our relationships, have you ever seen anyone progress in faith and see God work out righteousness and holiness in that person's life through that anger? Oh, what does it do? It doesn't produce the righteous life. It produces the unrighteous life, doesn't it? It leads to more sin. Unrighteous anger leads to more sin in our lives. It doesn't lead to the holy and righteous life God desires. It tells us here, be quick to listen, slow to speak. And the picture here is of conflict. Anyone here ever experienced conflict with another person? Anyone? Okay. A husband, a wife, another family member in the church. Like I said, it's fortunate that we don't have conflict in the church. Isn't it? Isn't it great that there is no such thing as conflict in the church? No, there is, isn't there? It's an inevitable part of being human and living in this world, is we're going to have conflict. Conflict in itself isn't necessarily a bad thing, is it? Disagreement isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's how we handle it that is the issue, isn't it? But all too often, whenever there is a problem, a disagreement among us, what do we naturally do? Are we naturally quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to become angry? Quite the opposite, isn't it? Our natural response is we're quick to speak, slow to listen, and quick to get angry. Isn't it interesting that listening and speaking, listening, quick to listen, slow to become angry. Quick to speak, quick to become angry. Why? Because the more that we're talking, what are we doing? We're so interested in getting our position out there, our point of view, what we think about it, that we're not really listening to the other person. And all that does is ends up producing anger in our lives and our hearts, doesn't it? Because, and I know I'm probably the only one in this room that does this, okay? But when we're quick to speak and slow to listen, whenever we do allow the other person to speak, we're formulating our response already. We're not even really hearing what they're saying, are we? Because we're busy preparing our counter argument, our next attack, our next That's a person who's quick to speak and slow to listen. So it says, take note of this. This is important. Be quick to listen. I wonder how many problems could be solved by simple, effective listening and not speaking. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. It's essential then, too, that we put away or remove all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent in this world. To get rid of them, the text says here, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. It's essential that we take out the trash in our lives. We need to continuously take out the trash in our lives, take out the spiritual trash in our lives. Has anyone here ever maybe been a little slow or delayed in taking out the trash at home, like in your kitchen? You're busy, you forgot. It's like, oh, you know what, I get home tonight, I'll take care of it, And then you get home, and then you get busy with something else, and then the next, I'll do it in the morning. And of course, the next morning, it's like, I got to get to work, I'll deal with it later. And it just kind of continues on, especially now, if maybe there are some old food things and scraps and things like that are in the garbage and it stays around in the kitchen. Has anyone here ever had that happen to you where the garbage stayed around just a little bit too long in the house? Okay, there are a few of you. It's not just me. Okay, personal confession. That's happened. I've done that. The trash has been in the house a little too long. And what happens? Is that pleasant? when you have that smelly, rotting garbage in your house, it begins to move out of the kitchen. It's like, if you ever see like those movies like with the fog that, you know, starts progressing slowly, or London fog. It's like that. It's that it starts progressing into every room in that house eventually, then, wouldn't it? So we take out the trash. At least, guys, we're supposed to be taking it out. Ladies, how are we doing on that? I don't know. So we're supposed to be taking out the trash, or otherwise that smell, it just continues, it builds up. And all of a sudden, it's not a very pleasant place to, our home is not a very pleasant place to be in anymore, is it? In the same way, in our lives, when we don't take out the trash, we don't take out the garbage regularly, it starts to accumulate and stink in our lives, isn't it? Now, somebody else might walk into your house, and they know right away, if you haven't taken out the garbage in a while, someone else can walk into your house, and they know garbage hasn't been taken out in here in a while. You know what? When we don't take out the garbage in our lives, in our relationships with other people, it becomes apparent then, doesn't it? Yeah, this person needs to take out the trash in their life. And by the way, it starts with us too, isn't it? It isn't saying, you need to take out the garbage in your life. It's like, I need to start with myself, taking out the garbage in our lives. That's what he's saying. Remove. Get rid of moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. We can't let the spiritual garbage in our hearts accumulate and stink up our hearts and our minds. So let us take that out, get rid of it, and humbly receive. Receive God's Word. The picture here is like a seed that's planted in soil, where the Word of God is planted in our hearts and our minds. Get the garbage out of our hearts and minds and receive the Word of God, His truth, into our hearts and minds. Let's continually receive. How do we receive His Word? Well, we receive His Word like this, times like this, and in hearing His Word spoken, taught, preached. But we also receive His Word through our own time in His Word, reading and studying there. We receive God's Word through how He speaks through other people then into us. God is always using a variety of ways to speak His Word into our lives, to plant that seed in our hearts and minds. We must receive continuously the powerful Word of God. It's the powerful Word of God that saves us then. So receive God's Word. Another thing we need to do then is to respond to God's Word. It's not enough simply to hear what God says, is it? We have to respond, act on it, obey. James goes on to say this, but don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the Word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. So respond to God's Word. We have to obey it. The command is clear here, isn't it? Don't just listen. Don't just add to our knowledge of it, but do it. Do what it says. You know, and oftentimes obeying God's Word, I know it's certainly been my experience, but oftentimes obeying God's Word simply has to come from a pure, Holy Spirit-empowered act of the will, doesn't it? If we waited until we felt like obeying sometimes, we probably wouldn't obey that much, would we? Sometimes it is an act of the will, and not our own fleshly efforts, but through the Holy Spirit living in us, empowering us. We have to choose to cooperate with the Spirit and act on His Word, even when we don't feel, especially when we don't feel like obeying. We must become active doers of the Word and not listeners only, who fool ourselves. We delude ourselves. Scripture says when we don't obey the Word, if all we're doing is hearing it, accumulating knowledge and understanding of it on one level, but not acting on it, obeying it, then we're fooling ourselves, deceiving ourselves. What are we fooling ourselves about? We're fooling ourselves into thinking that somehow that is all that is necessary, is simply to hear the word and know what it says. But it isn't, is it? We have to know what it says if we're to do what it says, but mere knowledge isn't enough. James gives us a powerful illustration here of merely listening and not doing. He says it is like a man who looks in a mirror and then quickly forgets what he looks like. You know what I find interesting about that phrase there, what he's saying there? He says it is like a man that looks in a mirror. Not man in a generic person sense. It's the word for a male person, okay? He's not saying it's like when a person looks in a mirror and then forgets what he or she looks like. He says it is like when a man, a male person, looks in a mirror and forgets what he looks like. I think there's a significance here in that some things never change through history, ladies, okay? But sometimes men, you know, we're not as quick to look in the mirror, are we? But occasionally we'll just kind of glance, kind of look in the mirror. Maybe we see something's askew or something. And a lot of times, does a man really take too much trouble or effort to fix it or correct it or do anything about it? You know, he sees his hair is a little out of place or he's got a little smudge or something like that. You know, what I missed a spot shaving. Who cares, right? You know, we look in a mirror and then, whatever, and keep on going. It's like a man who looks in a mirror. But a woman, though, what does a woman do? A woman gazes intently into the mirror, doesn't she? She sees that image. She sees a problem. What does she? Does a woman, when she sees something wrong, when she gazes into the mirror, does she just walk off and forget about it? No, she's probably going to take the effort to sit there and work on it and fix it, isn't she? And that's the picture here. You know, it says it's not just when a person who looks at it. It says it's like when a man looks in a mirror. So guys, we're all to be like women, looking in the mirror here, gazing intently and fixing the problem. So don't be like a man who just glances in the mirror and quickly forgets what he sees. Women see something as askew and they do something about it. Well, for all of us then, all of us spiritually, all of us can be like that man who looks in the mirror and then walks off and doesn't do anything. When we look into God, we need to gaze intently, to peer intently there. The picture there of looking intently is the word picture behind that is like literally is like stooping down and looking very hardly and close, hard and close look. Staring intently into that mirror, seeing our reflection there. God's Word, God's truth is a mirror for our souls, isn't it? God's Word clearly reveals the truth about our hearts and our minds. Scripture says what? It judges the heart and the mind, the thoughts and intentions. It shows us exactly who we are. And sometimes we're going to see something that's askew, aren't we? Something that's not right. Some way in which we're falling short. And don't just walk away and say, you know what, I have a problem with my tongue. I gossip. I backbite. I slander. I just see that right now as I'm reading God's Word. But I'm not going to do anything about it. Or I look in God's Word and I see that, I'm not loving my brother and sister as Christ has loved me. But, you know, I'll worry about that another time. Maybe I am allowing lustful thoughts, things like this, that I'm just allowing them to dominate me, to lead me into sin, but I'm not going to do anything about that. Or I have a problem with honesty, truthfulness. Maybe I have idols in my heart. Maybe I covet things. I want things that belong, that rightly belong to others and not to me. God's Word reveals and shows us the truth about ourselves. Don't just walk away and forget what He shows us through that. So for all of us then, this Word of God is a mirror that reveals, and we must look intently into it. And when we see, when God speaks to us through it, to act on that, obey that. Then he says something, you know, the person who holds to, who obeys the perfect law of God, it gives us something. What does it give us? Freedom. Freedom. The real freedom. When we respond to the revealed Word of God, it gives us freedom. God's restrictions bring freedom, don't they? As Jesus said what? Hold to my teaching, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The one who wants to do what God says will find freedom and will be blessed in all that he or she does. Do you want the blessing of God on your life? You know, I certainly do. Then we must do what God's Word says. So let's receive God's Word, respond in obedience to God's Word, and then also then we must remain in God's Word. It's not enough just to hear one time, obey one time. It needs to be a consistent attitude or walk, a consistent way of life. James says this, he says, if you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. So remaining in God's Word. Obedience, it's not a one-time deal. You must continue to walk in obedience, remaining in God's Word, a steady way of life. James says, the one who is truly religious, that is the one who has true faith, genuine faith, will demonstrate that in his or her conduct. That, you know, all of our religious beliefs and values, all of those things are worthless if they're not backed up with righteous conduct. Now, Christians are not perfect, are we? We haven't arrived. We all have a long way to go, don't we? But if we say that we have faith, but we give no evidence of it in how we behave, then that faith is worthless. True religion, real faith, the real deal, if you will evidence itself in our conduct. And James gives us here some examples of real deal faith, real deal religion. First, he says, keeping a tight rein on the tongue. You know, if we say that we have faith, are we keeping a tight rein on the tongue? He's going to have much more to say about this a little later here. But it's amazing the power of the tongue, the power of our words to impact people positively for good, for holiness and righteousness, the good of the kingdom, versus also the power of the tongue to destroy, to tear down. The scourge of gossip. The scourge of gossip. The scourge of discouraging words. So we need to keep a tight rein on the tongue. Another thing he says here is we need to look after orphans and widows. Look after orphans and widows. Who are the orphans and widows? These are the vulnerable. Are we caring for the vulnerable in our midst? If we have true religion, we're going to show it in what we do. For example, how we speak to one another. We're going to show it by how we care for the most vulnerable among us. Pursuing righteous character. James says, a clean and undefiled religion is one in which our character and our conduct are disciplined in accordance with God's Word. God isn't interested in religious ritual. He's interested in right living. Right living. So I wonder, are you quick to speak? Or quick to listen? I wonder how many conflicts, how many problems could be headed off if more of us were quick to listen, and slow to speak, slow to become angry. You regularly taking out the trash in your house. Boy, you wouldn't let that trash pile up in your kitchen, would you? You wouldn't let that go a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. Do we let the spiritual garbage in our lives collect for a week, 2 weeks, a month, years? Sometimes we let certain things just collect for years in our lives, don't we? It starts to stink up our whole house, our whole spiritual house. Take out the trash. What do we mean by take out the trash? Confess it. Repent. Confess, admit to God, and repent, turn away from it. That's how we take out the spiritual trash in our lives. Do you gaze intently into God's Word? You take the time to really listen to what God is saying in there. You know, not the drive-by Bible study. You ever done that? You know, take about 5 minutes. I've done my duty for the day. I read a quick passage, and it's like, okay, that's some great thoughts. Well, I got to go now, Lord. Or do you gaze intently into God's Word? And then, of course, most importantly then, do we do what it says? Or do we just walk away and forget what it says then? Do you obey? Do you obey what God's Word says? Knowledge is well and good, but it's not enough. We have to obey it, act on it then. Does your faith impact your character and conduct? Or is faith about a set of doctrines or a set of values? Faith is about doctrine and values, but it's much more than that, isn't it? Real, genuine faith. It's about how we live. Righteous living. Consistent obedience to God's Word produces mature Christian character and conduct. Let's pray. Father, there's a lot in there for us to gaze intently into, to reflect upon. And I pray that by the power of your Spirit, that we would be quick to listen to one another, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because that anger, Lord, does not produce the righteous life you desire. The very opposite, Lord, the very opposite. Father, we commit ourselves to taking out the trash in our lives through regular confession and repentance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you do forgive us when we confess and turn. Your Word promises, it assures us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, thank you for that. So God, remove the trash from our lives. Remove the trash from our church body. Be honored in us. God, we want to be a real and genuine, authentic believer. We want to be a real and genuine, authentic local assembly church that demonstrates, that shows that its religion is not worthless, but it's real and genuine. It proves it in how we love one another, how we speak to one another, and how we care for one another. God, may that become real and powerful and present and true in our lives and in this body. Father, be honored in us. Be glorified through our lives. We pray in Jesus' name.